The Albany Symphony Orchestra and our buddy ASO maestro and music director David Alan Miller had a good night last night at the Grammy Awards, winning a Grammy for the world premiere recording of Christopher Theophanides' Concerto for Viola and Chamber Orchestra. The award was for Best Classical Instrumental Solo Category. The Concerto for Viola was recorded in 2018 at the Troy Savings Bank Music Hall. This is the fifth time in 7 years that the Albany Symphony recording, has received a Grammy nomination, winning in 2013, winning last night. When you think of winning, you think David Alan Miller, and we welcome him to the program this morning. How are you, buddy?
Oh, man, we're so tired of winning. We never get tired of winning. Hi, Joe. Happy Ides of March to you.
Well, I thank you very much.
I got a little panicked an hour ago, Joe. I was listening to you, and you started playing the viola concerto. I thought, oh, no. Have I got the daylight savings time wrong? Is this supposed to be now?
No, you're fine.
But you're nice. You've been playing it all morning.
We've been playing it all morning, and we wanted you to get your due, and for the orchestra and for Christopher and everyone involved to know how thrilled we are that you won this. I saw the news last night, and I was just stunned. I got a kick out of your reaction because I don't know if you're kidding. It didn't sound like you were kidding, but you posted
Dead
a picture
serious.
And you were like, "I'm sorry, does this mean we won?"
As you just described it, you know, we've been nominated 5 times in whatever you said, 7 years, and the first year was the one when I didn't even know about the Grammys, and we got invited and we got nominated and we won for this John Corleone piece, and so it's like this unbelievable dream, and then 4 times I've been back and we haven't won. So I am much more used to not winning than to winning. And I must say this was in a certain way a real dark horse candidate because it was a viola concerto, a contemporary work. And when you see the competition we were up against in our category, it was the Boston Symphony, the Philadelphia Orchestra, one of the greatest European orchestras, the Bayerischer Rundfunk, 3 of the greatest pianists in the world, Daniel Trifonov and Igor Levit, and then one of the greatest violinists, and then little us, we were in there. So I had sort of just steeled myself against disappointment and had gone off to do some grocery shopping, and miraculously, my daughter jumped out of the car as I was coming out of the parking lot and said, we won.
That is such a cool story. Now, obviously, you weren't able to be there as you have been in years past and see it all unfold. But, you know, who cares? You still get a Grammy in the mail, and that's nice.
Yeah, who cares? I think that may have also been part of my calculus was that I knew I couldn't have my annual visit out to L.A. to visit my dad, and which is always a nice thing. My dad and my stepmom are out there. He's about to be 90, and it's always treat to go visit with them and go to the Grammys and see all my brilliant colleagues perform. You know, it's so funny. I watched the show, most of it, last night, and it really harkened back to the first time I went in 2013, because I remember the whole thing. I was like in a daze that we won, and then I got to sit there and watch all the world's most famous pop artists perform, and I had this weird, completely ridiculous feeling like, these are my colleagues, you know. Like, I'm a Grammy winner too.
Well, that's not ridiculous.
The last 4 or 5 years, I haven't felt that way. I felt like a loser.
But you know,
and now last night it happened again. I'm watching all these famous artists, you know, Beyonce and Megan Thee Stallion, and I'm thinking, these are my people, you know. We're like,
that's
together.
Right. You're in this club.
It was
hysterical. That's very true. That is. There are world famous musicians, singers, people who have spent a lifetime in music who have not garnered a Grammy, and damn it, you have two. So that's really good for you. Congratulations.
Well, yeah, and we don't even say two. We say multi-Grammy winner.
Yeah, multi-Grammy winner. Yeah. That's absolutely
true. It could be
true.
Two, or it could be like Beyonce. It could be 20, 28, you know? So I want to keep it a little vague.
So let's talk about this work, because as you mentioned, it is unusual for the viola to get its props, and because the history of this is fascinating in and of itself. I remember you talking about it at the time as you were recording it, but let us talk about this concerto for viola and chamber orchestra and how it came about, how you got involved with Christopher and say, okay, this is something that we want to do.
Sure. Well, as your extremely erudite listeners know, the viola is that somewhat awkwardly placed instrument right in the middle of the string section that sits between the violins and the cellos and always has these beautiful middle lines, but is seldom really heard from as a solo instrument. And there are really very few, certainly, I don't know, there's less than half a dozen standard rep solo pieces for viola and orchestra in the standard repertoire, maybe three or four concerti that are played occasionally. So the mere idea of writing a viola concerto is already a bit anomalous. You know, violins, they're always writing, getting concerti, and pianists, and obviously pianos. So even having a viola concerto was an unusual thing. This was a piece that Chris had written a couple of years before we played it for another great violist, Kim Kashkashian, who's based in Boston. She commissioned it and sent him a book of Native American poetry. And he was so touched and moved by this very sparse poetry that he wrote this concerto for her in five movements. And she performed it once or twice, and then it was kind of left on the shelf. And then we had a close relationship with him. He's actually run this wonderful program for young composers at our American Music Festival every June, where 12 young composers come together. And, you know, he's a very distinguished mid-career Yale professor and one of the main teachers at Aspen in the summer. So he runs this wonderful thing for us. And so we asked him to if we could play a big orchestra piece, two big orchestra pieces, and make a recording. So we made this recording. We recorded his beautiful violin concerto, equally beautiful work, I guess, the year before. And then we recorded this viola concerto with really the world's greatest living violist. Richard O'Neill is this astounding violist, South Korean, grew up here and has this amazing life story. His mother is a special needs person, has some disabilities, and she came here and a family adopted them and raised him and gave him a viola, and he's become this world-renowned violist. So very touching stories all across. And Chris wrote the piece around the time of 9/11, so there are echoes of 9/11 and great sadness in the piece. But we wanted the piece to be out there in the world because it had never been recorded, but we never imagined that it could garner a Grammy, so it was just amazing.
Christopher Theofanides.
Is that enough backstory?
It is a great backstory. And
plenty of backstory.
Well, I know it's fascinating to me because I think that when you, first of all, I believe you recorded this in 2018, so here we are in 2001. So this is a long process for all of this.
2021, right, yeah.
Yeah, 2021,
yes,
right.
It was a long process, yeah.
But well worth it in this case. So
yeah.
We
recorded in the legendary Troy Stevens Bank Music Hall where and Chris wrote it really for it's sort of a large chamber orchestra. I mean, it's probably 50 musicians, but it's very sparse. And so that's part of the brilliance of that is that the viola being kind of a mid-range instrument is really able to be heard soloistically. And Richard just plays the guts out of the thing. I mean, it's so passionate. It's fantastic.
So that's
what you were going to say?
Well, I was going to ask about the kudos, right? I want to get into the other people here because obviously congratulations to Christopher, congratulations. But for Richard, my goodness, that is lovely too, isn't it? And
totally.
So
life dream of his. He was
So who actually gets a Grammy? How does that work?
The physical statues go to Richard and me. Why, I'm not sure. The soloist and the conductor of the orchestra. So I'm fortunate twice in that I've won in this category twice, and in this category I get the statue. But you're right that in different categories, different people get the statues. For example, if it had won in best orchestral composition, Chris would have gotten the statue. And
yeah.
So it's a little bit arbitrary who gets the statue.
So.
But, I'm going to have to build one of those big cases for my two Grammys now.
Well, first of all, the first thing I thought of was bookends. Now you could...
Yes, bookends are good. Right. But unfortunately, as I said to somebody, I have three children, and so I have to be able to leave each of my children a Grammy, not that they need a Grammy, mind you, and not that they could care less. But,
well,
no, they've been very sweet about the whole thing.
Get working on the third kid of getting him a Grammy.
Yes, I'm working on the third Grammy, but no more kids. We're capped at three.
No.
Easier to get a Grammy than a kid. Yeah. And you don't have to feed them as much. Much cheaper. Less expensive. Yeah.
So how does this help business? You know, this is the weird time, and everyone's trying to figure it out. Especially in the arts, and I will say in your case, you know, in the performing arts and in classical music, of okay, now what do we do? How do we get together? How do we make these things happen? How do we plan? How do we plan ahead? Things are changing at any moment. So that in and of itself is a question of how you move forward. And also, Does this help in 2013? I mean, it certainly is a lovely thing to happen. I would think it doesn't hurt.
It's really a great help. I mean, it's a great help, you know, both locally and kind of nationally, internationally, in terms of our brand image, et cetera. I remember when we won that first Grammy, I was so struck that people I barely knew, who I knew weren't really concert goers, would stop me in the Price Chopper here in Salina Lists and say, I heard about the Grammy. You know, it's the kind of thing that kind of crosses over beyond your genre because everybody knows about the Grammys. But I think we did see a real spike in interest in the orchestra. It's sort of, you know, it's one of these caveats that just, you know, that just sort of gives you that imprimatur that you are at this great high international level. And again, just, you know, being in the same category with the Boston Symphony and the Philadelphia Orchestra is already a testament to the quality of our great Albany Symphony musicians. So I do think, and actually, you know, as you say, this year has been, you know, impossible for all of us, incredibly difficult, particularly for our beautiful musicians. And I just want to give a shout out to all of the listeners. I know we share a lot of passionate champions at AMC and at the Symphony. And our, like your supporters, our supporters have been so generous and so with us. And, you know, as you know, because we've talked many times about it, we decided to continue our season and to play each of our subscription concerts. And we had our sixth subscription concert just Saturday night, which was a huge high. We did the Rachmaninoff third piano concerto, and it was just a celebratory evening. We had a wonderful evening, and that alone. Are you there? My phone's buzzing or something.
Yeah, you're here. I hear both you and the buzzing, but it's okay. I hear more of you than the buzzing.
Doesn't usually buzz. Take it off that and see what happens.
It's the bat phone.
So we had this celebratory evening and a great weekend, and then to have this win on top of that, and as you may know, you know, this is about the time that we normally announce the next season.
Right.
So we've put together a beautiful comeback season, and we are hoping and planning to be back in the concert hall by October, if all goes well, at least many or most of us. But we're also going to continue this virtual option for anybody who doesn't feel comfortable coming back. But so we really are in the process, like so many arts institutions, of coming back. And so this is just an unbelievable bit of extra rocket fuel to sort of, you know, get us back in the news and get people aware of that we are still here and we're going to come back stronger than ever.
Let me just ask you this question, which may make you uncomfortable, and if it does, feel free to tell me and I'll stop it. But you but you know, you also, you will go out and do side projects, and you will guest conduct and do that kind of thing. I would think this helps that tremendously. And so are there gigs that are now open to you that you're like, okay, sign me up? You know, go back to the normal thing, you know, when we get back to normal.
Funny you say that. I remember when I won the first one, I talked to my manager, who's a very wonderful person, but has not been wildly able to help me too much. And she said, if you think you're going to get more work because of this, forget it. So I think actually it's one of these things where, you know, the get more work thing, more guest conducting, she was just, you know, dismissing the idea that it would lead to more visibility.
But you need a new agent.
It's a little, yeah, that could be. It's a little more ephemeral than that. And that's what I'm sort of feeling about all my work here at the Albany Symphony. You know, next season is my 30th season with the symphony, and we're going to do some celebratory things around that. But it's just wonderful. The longer you invest in something, the more wonderful things accrue to that relationship. And that's kind of what I'm feeling. Is I feel so fortunate to be here, and the orchestra has never sounded better, and the musicians, even though they've been through this brutal, grueling year, are just ready to go and ready to play and can play anything. And as is proven by these kinds of things like winning this Grammy, you know, we can do anything. So
yeah.
I just feel in a very good place about it. And I do think eventually, you know, cruise, so, you know, there's buzz around you, just like, you know, Beyonce has a lot of buzz. And now Beyonce and I have, you know, not exactly similar buzz, but
well, it is buzz. I mean, you
increased buzz.
Yeah, I mean, the first we were like, oh, we have to get David on the show this morning. I mean, and it was very excited,
very
and we're
sweet.
Thank you that you did this. And so, my final question.
Well, as I always say, when good things happen, well, I may not be famous, but at the Slingerland's Price Chopper, I'm huge. I'm just huge.
So you're just going to be like over by the broccoli signing autographs this morning?
Yeah. Oh, I can barely go in there. The paparazzi is just unbelievable.
Well, look, I'm
now, now I go incognito because I can't tell who I am behind my mask. So it's a little more disappointing.
Well, I wish you all the luck in the world, and I thank you so much. I congratulate you. I congratulate the orchestra and to Chris and to everybody for the Grammy. It's a huge deal, and we're more than a little excited for you. Congratulations.
Well, Joe, thank you.
And
thank you and the station for your incredible championing of the arts, of us. I mean, Barrington Stage on last week, you've got so much wonderful attention to the arts always, and you're so passionate about us, and that means a lot to us.
We're out of time, but thank you, sir. Be well.